Before we get started, I am pleased to announce that I am a grandfather once again. Not so little Hallie was born 9 pounds, 7 ounces, and her middle name is James. So kind of a proud papa there. And it's kind of interesting because I was also 9 pounds, 7 ounces. So there's something at work here, I believe. But yes, it is. So now I guess it's Ashley's turn to have a baby. And you look at that face and it's like, no, no, no. So we went from 0 to 4 grandkids in about 3 years. So it's been a whirlwind. And Belinda and I have realized that we need to start working out to keep up with the grandkids. So that is going to be our New Year's resolution, because when they leave the house, we are exhausted. Love them to death, but now I know why God has young people have kids and not older people such as myself. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, God bless all the grandmas and the grandpas that raised their grandkids, because that is not an easy thing. So God bless them. All right, if you've been around New Hope for any period of time, you know that I love to study Hebrew. I love to study the Old Testament. And I've had people say, I'm not really an Old Testament person, to which I always respond, if you don't know the Old Testament, you can't understand the New Testament. And so I do a lot of studying. Every year, I try to teach when the festivals come around. They're called, in the Hebrew, they're called Mo'adim, and they are appointed times that God says, remember to celebrate this every year so that you do not forget what I have done for you as my people. And if you are a Christian, you have been grafted into that Jewish vine, which was Jesus Christ. The Messiah came from the line of Judah, one of the tribes of Israel. And Jesus still kept those Mo'adim when he was living here on earth. And we learn through the Mo'adim, or the appointed times, God's plan of redemption for his people. He spells it out as we study them, as we go through them. We see Jesus throughout these Mo'adim. Well, I don't know if any of you are familiar with a Jewish holiday that is coming up. It is celebrated for 8 days, and it will start next Sunday, December 18th, and it is called Hanukkah. Some calendars, you'll see it spelled with an H. Other places, you'll see it spelled with a CH. In the Hebrew alphabet, the H is a guttural sound. It is a H. So when they spell it with the CH, they're trying to get as close as they can to the original pronunciation. So to make it easy on my throat, I'm just going to say Hanukkah and not the H. And blessings on you who are within spitting range. But Hanukkah is a Jewish festival lasting 8 days, commemorating the recovery of Jerusalem and subsequent rededication of the Second Temple at the beginning of the Maccabean Revolt against the Seleucid Empire in second century BC. This Jewish holiday is known as the Festival of Lights. Now, are you any of you familiar with Hanukkah or the elements? Spin the dreidel, potato pancakes. And there's a lighting of a menorah that takes place for 8 days. What I want to do is give us a little bit of background, because everywhere that I went to study this, it all talked about the Festival of Lights and the 8 days of lighting candles that symbolize the oil in the lamp, and we're going to learn this, that lasted for 8 days. There's really not a lot of other information out there unless you go into Jewish sites and you really learn what it started as and what it was all about. It has become something that was not originally intended in the second or first century BC. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background, and that led up to what is called the Maccabean Revolt. Now, the Old Testament closes with Malachi, and then the New Testament starts with the birth of Jesus. So there's about a 400-year intertestamental or testamental period known as the silent years, because there was nothing that was written that are included in the canon of Scripture. But there is something that is recorded in history in the book of Maccabees. Now, the Maccabees is part of the apocryphal books. Have any of you ever noticed that sometimes you pick up a Bible, especially like a Catholic Bible, that it has more books in it than the Protestants do? Those are the apocryphal books written during that time period that were not up to the same standard as the rest of the Bible itself. Jesus actually referenced some of those books as a learning tool or a study tool, but he never canonized them. They were not the divine word of God that we hold today. But it's good for learning. So we have what we call the Maccabean Revolt. After Alexander the Great all but conquered the entire known world, when he died, he divided up his kingdom into four different sections. And he gave one section to each one of his generals. So we have Alexander the Great ruling over one big massive piece of land. And then he divides it up into four. And after he dies, these four different divisions often fought against one another. And in two of these sections, divided up between two of the generals, Israel lies right between the two of them. And they did not get along. So they fought a lot. And Israel was right in the middle of that fighting. One of the generals was very conscientious and allowed the Jewish people to do whatever they wanted as far as their religious practices. The other general did not. And so he was very antagonistic and against the nation of Israel and their religious practices. So there was this fighting. Eventually, the bad guy wins. And his name was Antiochus. And he took the name Antiochus Epiphanes, which means the gods manifested. So he was claiming himself as God manifested on earth. He began to persecute the Jews. He outlawed Jewish religious practices, including the observances of kosher food laws. He ordered the worship of the Greek god Zeus. He attacked Jerusalem, he pillaged the temple, and he killed or captured many of the women and the children. He banned typical religious practices or Jewish practices, outlawing Jewish sacrifices, Sabbaths, feasts, and circumcision. He established altars to Greek gods upon which unclean animals were sacrificed. The possession of Jewish scriptures became a capital offense. This guy did not want the Jewish religion to live. He wanted to exterminate it. His ultimate act of desecration was when he conquered Jerusalem, he went into the temple and he took a pig, which is an unclean animal, which was not even allowed in the temple area, and he sacrificed that pig on the holy altar of the temple, completely desecrating the entire Levitical worship sacrificial system. There was one guy who was a priest, And his name was Mattathias. And he said, when he saw this happen, he said, enough is enough. So what Antiochus would do is he would send officers into different cities, place them over, ruling over the people of the city, and try to get the Jews to begin to offer their sacrifices on other altars, changing the way that they did their what they had grown up with. He wanted that to be completely annihilated, so he would send officers in, and he would try to get the most influential people to offer sacrifices in front of the rest of the people so that the rest of the people would follow. So we're going to pick up a story in 1 Maccabees, one of the apocryphal books, in chapter 2, verses 23 through 29. And it gives a little bit of a background, and we need to know this background in order to understand Hanukkah. So the king's officers, and I'm sorry you don't have any notes today. This took me a lot more longer study time, and I didn't get them in time, so I apologize. So we're going old school. So just pull them up on your phone if you'd like. I don't know if anybody has pulled up 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 29, but there you go. The king's officers who were enforcing the apostasy came to the town of Modiin to make them offer sacrifice. Many from Israel came to them, and Mattathias and his sons were assembled. Then the king's officers spoke to Mattathias as follows. You are a leader, honored and great in this town, and supported by sons and brothers. Now be the first to come and do what the king commands, as the Gentiles and the people of Judah and those that are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons will be numbered among the friends of the king, and you and your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. But Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice so that everyone could hear, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to obey his commandments, every one of them abandoning the religion of their ancestors, I and my sons and my brothers will continue to live by the covenant of our ancestors. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's word by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left. When he had finished speaking these words, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer a sacrifice on the altar in Modiin, according to the king's command. When Mattathias saw it, he burned with zeal and his heart was stirred. He gave vent to righteous anger. He ran and he killed him on the altar. At the same time, he killed the king's officer who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. That is zeal right there. Not only did he kill one of his own countrymen, he killed the officer who was telling him to do all these things. Thus, he burned with zeal for the law. Then Mattathias cried out in the town with a loud voice, saying, let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant come out with me. Then he and his sons fled to the hills and left all that they had in the town. And at that time, many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to live there. So here's a guy, he's a rebel. He says, I've had enough of this, them changing our ways, telling us to observe and worship other gods. And when one of his fellow men started to do it, saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do now, he kills him. And then he kills an officer, and then he cries out, anybody else tired of this stuff? Come with us. And they fled into the wilderness. Later on in the book of Maccabees, we hear that they have a few hundred people who decided that they had had enough of this Greek rule and that they were not going to live by the king's orders. So they're living in the wilderness, basically hiding, but they're learning how to fight as well. So we see later on that they basically conducted guerrilla warfare against the Greeks. So they're going out and they're fighting the Greeks, and they're often outnumbered. But it also says that they were fighting the Jews who had become Hellenized, which means that they had assimilated into the Greek culture. They had set aside their own belief system, and now they were kind of a mishmash of religion, denying their God and offering sacrifices to the king's God. So they're going after them as well. And they're taking away their rights as citizens and their rights to be protected. So they continue to fight. So Mattathias ends up dying in 166 BC, and he leaves his son Judas in charge of the rebel forces. Even though they're greatly outnumbered, Judas and his rebels defeated general after general in battle, winning decisive victories against overwhelming odds. In some instances, they say they were outnumbered 60 to 1. 60 to 1. And they keep going out and they battle and they defeat general after general after general. And they see that God is with them. Because those battles, those victories in battle, those are miraculous. That just doesn't happen. Yet it continues to happen. Finally, they go up against an army of 50,000 troops and defeat them. And they're able to take back Jerusalem. So they're going in to rededicate this temple that had been desecrated. And his name became Judas Maccabeus. And it's called the Maccabean Revolt. And the word in Hebrew means hammer. So they gave him the title Judas the Hammerer of the Greeks. And it's exactly what he did. So it became known as the Maccabean or the Hammering Revolt. So now they have a problem. They want to go back in and they want to rededicate the temple, but it has been completely defiled. And one of the things that God said in Leviticus and Exodus was that there was to be a lamp, a menorah, a lampstand, and it is to be lit at all times. So the first thing that they wanted to do was to light that menorah because it represented the light of God in that place. It was never to go out. Well, when this thing became defiled, it went out. So one of the things they wanted to do, or the first thing they wanted to do, was to light this menorah. And so they searched everywhere for some oil that had not been desecrated by the Greeks. And all they could find was one jar of oil. And they knew it hadn't been desecrated because when they made the oil, it was an 8-day process. When they made the oil, they would put it in a jar and the priest put his seal on that jar. So when they were looking for enough oil to light this lamp, they only had one jar and that oil was only good for one day. And they decided, you know what? We're going to do this anyway. We're going to light this lamp. We are going to proclaim God's presence here, his light here. And it says in the Babylonian Talmud, it says that they searched and found only a single jar of oil lying with the seal of the high priest. But that jar had enough oil only for a single day. But there was a miracle done with it, and they lit the lamp for 8 days. So God took what was just not enough, and he made it more than enough. He took a jar of oil that was only going to last one day, and it lasted 8 days. Why did it have to last 8 days? Because it was an 8-day process to make new oil. There was no way that they could keep that lamp going and make enough oil that was pure and made the way that God wanted it made. So they used the one jar. It lasted 8 days. Why? Because then after the 8th day, they had new oil that could be used. So there's the miracle of Hanukkah, is the oil lasting 8 days. We don't have enough. We don't have enough soldiers. God made it more than enough in their victories. We don't have enough oil. God says, with my hand on it, yes, you do. So that's the miracle of Hanukkah. So there's a menorah, but it's different. A normal menorah has three candles on either side of the branch and one in the middle. During Hanukkah, they light a menorah that is called the Hanukkiah. And there are four candles on either side as opposed to the normal three, which represent the 8 days that the oil burned. But there's also another candle in the middle. And we are going to look at that in a little bit. So, Jim, what does this have to do? What does this have to do with us here today? Because Hanukkah is not one of the Moedim that God talked about and commanded that they follow. Like Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, Pentecost, the Tabernacles. It was not listed in the Old Testament. It came about during those silent years. So what does it have to do with us? Why do we even care? Well, let's look at John chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. It says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me.'" First of all, we need to notice that John calls it the festival of dedication, not the festival of lights. Because it was not called the festival of lights in the time of Jesus. But we know that Jesus honored that festival because he was in the temple, which is where you went during these festivals. But he called it the festival of dedication. Hanukkah in Hebrew actually means dedicated against assimilation. Dedicated against becoming the nations around you. Dedicated against exactly what Mattathias and his son Judas did. They were dedicated and not following other gods, but following the one true God. So Hanukkah actually means it's honoring the people who are dedicated against assimilating into the culture around them, no matter what the cost. So the main focus was not on the lights and the miracles. The focus was on those ragtag groups who stood up for what God had told them to do and were not willing to allow the garbage in, no matter what the cost. That's what Hanukkah is really about. It has become about the miracle of the lamp, but and the festival of lights. But it's not the real true meaning. The real true meaning has kind of been lost. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 26, Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." You see, in Solomon's colonnade, the only people who were allowed in there, it's also called Solomon's porch or Solomon's portico, but the only people who are allowed in there are Jews. No Gentiles were allowed in there. So Jesus is talking to his Jewish brothers and he says, "You don't follow me because you're not my sheep." Basically saying, you have assimilated into the culture around you and you have become something that God did not intend you to become. You have adopted other ways. You still keep the sacrifices. You still show up during the festivals, but your heart is far from God. This was a problem all throughout the Old Testament. And God said over and over and over again when he brought them out of the wilderness, he says, "Be sure to follow my statutes, my commands, and my decrees. And if you do, it will go well with you. If you do not, you will be cursed. And God, and Jesus is saying, during this festival of light, during this festival of dedication to against assimilation, you have done exactly what this festival has said not to do. You are not my sheep. So Jesus honored and kept the festival of dedication. So it should be important to us as well. Because his apostles and his disciples would have heard him and seen him during this time. And he says, remember everything that I have told you. And even if you forget, I'm going to send a counselor or an advocate to remind you of all of these things. It was important to him. So we should understand it and know it. Does that mean we should all go out and buy dreidels and spin them? No, it does not. No, it does not. It says in the scriptures, you like sheep have been led astray. You have strayed from the truth and have assimilated with the nations around you. Jesus encouraged during this time a returning to God. He spoke of knowing his sheep and following his voice, and during the festival of dedication that celebrated the return to the Torah. That's what Hanukkah is really about. Today the focus is on celebrating the rededication of the temple and on the miracle of the oil. But what started the revolt was dedication to the Torah and to the God of Israel. Now I want to go back to the Hanukkah. Remember I told you it's not your typical six, three on each side. It's four on each side. But there's also one that is separate. There's one in the middle, and it's higher than the other one. Sometimes you'll see it off to the side, but it's always higher than the other one. And that candle is known as the Shamash. And Shamash means helper or servant. And when you light the Hanukkah, you light every candle with the one. Because these candles can't light themselves. There has to be a main source of light that lights the other ones. So it's called the servant candle. Mark, I love this stuff. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 9, verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It's interesting that the Shamash is the servant candle, and it is the one that is lit first before any of the other eight. Then you take the servant candle and you add the light to each one on each day of Hanukkah. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is the Shamash, which the rest of the candles cannot be lit without the Shamash. It's incredible. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus says this, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus says, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. But when I leave, guess what? I am passing this light on to you. He was talking to his disciples and to every person who would ever believe in his name. So we are actually the other candles. in the Hanukkah. And you light one candle per day. On one day, you light the first one. And then the next one, you light the next one. And as you get closer to the eighth day, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. But the light in those candles could not have happened without Yeshua. He's a servant. He's the one. It's amazing that the people, Orthodox Jews, follow this, but don't understand the true meaning of it. Jesus followed the dedication, the festival of dedication. And he says, I am the reason for this. I am the fulfillment of this. I am Hanukkah personified. Because of what a ragtag group of people did, they were not going to be assimilated into the nations around them. They were not going to deny their God. And they were willing to die to do it. So it is a festival of lights. But if you focus on the festival of lights, you're missing the main reason of what Hanukkah is all about. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. While I'm in it, it's me. When I leave, I pass my light onto you, and it is your job to keep that fire burning. Remember, it represented in the temple the presence of God, and that light was to never, ever go out. It is the same way with us today. We are the carriers of that light. And we need to be careful that we don't assimilate with all the garbage that's going on in the world. Because I'll tell you right now, there is a lot of assimilation going on in the church today, where they are adopting the teaching, they're adopting the culture, they're adopting all these different things that go against God's word. We need to make sure that we don't allow that to happen in our hearts. Because it's so easy to do. Because you are being bombarded every single day with garbage from the world. And if you're not combating that with the word of God, you will be sucked in. And you're going to find yourself in a place they should never want to be. With God's hand lifted off of you. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Period. If you don't love me, you won't obey me. That's pretty cut and dried, is it not? So today, when you see that on the calendar or you see a little blip on the news, I guarantee you all you're going to hear about is the miracle of the oil, which is part of it, but there's so much more. And now you guys know, and you can share what you've learned today with other people. Well, you know what? Yeah, it is about that. But you know what? I also heard something from my crazy pastor that it actually is about being dedicated against assimilation. That is, it's about God stepping in the lives of men and women and miraculously delivering them. You see, when we think we don't have enough, when we are in Him, we have more than enough. Amen? Amen? Please stand.
Praise the Lord. The Word of God is so true. And if you listen to the song where it says, may His presence and His favor go behind you, before you, beside you. What else do you need? Father, in the name of Jesus, we present our brothers and sisters unto you, Lord. We thank you for your word that have come forth. We praise you, Lord, because you've made us the light. You called us the light, O God. So we thank you, O God, for your favor, for your presence, for your anointing, for our children and our children's children, Lord. We pray this day, O Lord, that we will be a light, O God, and that we will light each other, O God, for your glory and for your honor. Bless us now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.